After a week off of the holidays, we're back at the Bent News Desk. I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
And when you need to know,
get bent.
While we were on holiday, Marcus, lots was going on and we had plenty to do on this edition of Bent News. And then yesterday, sad news, loss of the songbird, Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac.
I know, this was a complete surprise. Had no idea she had been in the hospital for a brief illness. I remember when we got Fleetwood Mac's Rumors record in our house and how often it played. It was a staple in our home. Her songs were my favorite of them. Songs like You Make Love and Fun. And her voice just, to me, was really warm and really beautiful and just sexy. And that's not a knock on anybody else in Fleetwood Mac. Nope. Because they all are insanely, extremely talented human beings.
There was always a rush to put Stevie Nicks more in the spotlight. But for the same reasons you just cited and about 10 more, she was my favorite in Fleetwood Mac for sure. Now, when I was in college, I discovered not only the early Fleetwood Mac, but the legendary Christine Perfect album, which is still in my collection, Marcus. This is one that hits hard and hits close to the heart because the songs mean so much. That song, Songbird, I never knew that it came to her in the middle of the night. She got up and played it and insisted they record it right away so she would be sure she had it as it came to her in the night. Songbird, one of those magical songs we all love.
For you, there'll be no more crying. For you, the sun will be shining.
Stevie Nicks' handwritten note was the one that moved me the most.
Yeah, it gets you, right? You think they're all, you know, a little jaded by everything. You realize it's as personal as it could be, all of it.
Yeah. There are some pretty moving reactions from people who had crossed paths with Christine over the years.
One of my favorites, and maybe unlikely in the stack of these, is from Paul Stanley. How very, very sad, he says. Those songs, that voice. She truly was the songbird. Tom Hamilton, Jason Isbell, all these different people. Prior to the news about Christine McVie, I'd say the biggest news of the week was the surprise drop by Metallica of Lux Aeterna on the world.
I know, they caught everybody off guard. Yeah. And I love it when bands do that because there's that thrill that you get when you get something new and there's like, oh, everybody knows this is coming out on said Friday or said Tuesday. No. They're just like, hey guys, guess what we got? Bam!
It's the great thing about the digital age is that kind of shit can happen to you. Enjoy it. New album on the way, tour in the new year, and they used it as an opportunity to remind folks that we're just about around to the Helping Hands concert for 2022. It'll be at the LA Microsoft Theater on December 16th, and streaming and listening and all that good stuff will commence at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Get ready. It's coming around for a good cause. I don't know about you, Marcus, but I didn't see this one coming at all. Apparently, there's a documentary in the works to tell us all the stuff we always wanted to know about Hipgnosis, the company behind the people who put together all these amazing album covers, like Dark Side of the Moon or Houses of the Holy, Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. Just name a few. Man, there's so many, right?
Holy cow. I did not know this until you had posted this story, and I'm stoked to see it because as a kid buying albums, album cover art was very fundamental in the aesthetics of the album, and I can't explain it to you unless you experienced it and lived it. Then you know the album cover was very important, and I didn't realize that there was a company behind it. I thought it was just all these wacky individuals who are friends of the band. Hey, I know this killer artist, and
That's how it started, man. Aubrey Powell and Storm Thorgerson started by designing a Saucer Full of Secrets album for Pink Floyd and formed Hipgnosis, and then, you know, those two were very close all the way through, but all these different albums, always original, always outside the box thinking creatively, and I think it's about time that we found out what was behind all of it. Especially, I want to see any footage they have of the shoot, the photo shoot for the Houses of the Holy cover. That has to be incredible stuff to see. So much cool stuff. And in the 60s and 70s, the cover often got your eye and dragged it 10 feet before you listened. Hipgnosis at the front of it all. Marcus, something happened in recent weeks, and it's all coming out now. It's Bruce Springsteen and Howard Stern sitting down for an extended interview. And, of course, it was on his Sirius XM satellite show. But it was so amazing that they took the whole thing, and now it's an extended HBO special running now if you have home box office. There's a lot of great moments and very honest moments between both of them, both guys, not just Bruce. And the scene where Bruce says, hey, yeah, I think I can remember how to play Thunder Road, because he doesn't play piano in the band. He's actually forgotten, apparently, how to play some of the songs on piano, which is how he wrote them.
I can play Backstreets, I'll bet. Let me see.
Magic stuff. And both men seem to relax in each other's company. Always the formula and the feel for a great interview.
Absolutely. The comfort factor is key. I'm looking forward to seeing that. My wife and I are going to sit down and watch that over the weekend. I love watching when Bruce speaks.
See, I wrote Most Born to Run on the piano, which is why the whole record was really written on my aunt's little Aeolian piano.
Wow.
And so that's why all the songs have...
He's really fun in the interviews. He's really candid. He's really honest. He's really open.
And you can tell he likes Howard in this one. You're going to see that right away.
Can't wait for that.
And if that's not enough going on for Springsteen, he announced that he's going to release a box set of 5 previously unreleased albums, mainly recorded in the 90s, including one that is based on drum loops. And he admits, yes, it's as fucking weird as it sounds it would be. All the box set.
It's interesting how all of this unreleased music is coming out once these artists have sold their rights.
Well, I think the archivist got in there and went, what's this? What the fuck is that? Oh, that's the album we didn't put out in 93. You know, what's that? That's the album we didn't put out in 97. You know what I mean? And he found that he had a lot of that stuff, so they went through it all. And I think you're going to see a lot of these cool special projects, in addition to the new releases like the soul covers on Only the Strong Survive. Springsteen in the spotlight this week on Bent News on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll.
How do we get a job as an archivist for these companies?
That is the question of the ages. Hey, Marcus, I can promise you one thing. No matter what happens in our business work that we do together here on the Dark Doc Media Network, I'm never going to sue you over a credit card, okay?
Deal.
Jonathan Cain can't say that anymore. He's suing Neil Schon, the founder of Journey, for charges that he used on the company credit card that he says were inappropriate or whatever. All I can tell you is It's his band. He's the CEO. If you're the COO or the CFO, you could be the chief go-fuck-yourself officer. If you think that you can just tell him to stop doing stuff when it's his band and you have a partnership, the way to solve it and get it done peaceably is not in the courts. Am I right or am I right?
I don't understand what's going on between them. This is crazyville.
This is after last year when they were fighting with Valerie and Smith over ownership, and they stuck together through that, and now they're turning on each other. I just don't get it. I have a lot of opinions about the dynamic inside Journey then and now, and I'll keep them to myself because they'll certainly get me in some kind of trouble. You know, Stephen Wilson has quietly gone along, making amazing progressive music all through the decades now, right?
Yeah.
But when they announced that he is going to release an epic and uncompromising solo album in 2023, you better pay attention. The Harmony Codex is out next year. The man's a genius.
He really is. With Porcupine Tree, they released an album this year, so he's been making music.
He kind of did a little end parentheses there with closure continuation. It had been a long time. Back to doing his thing, being Stephen Wilson, basically.
And he's saucy, too. One of the things that I like about him.
We were talking about Metallica's Helping Hand benefit coming up. Ringo giving his fans a hand. Did you hear about this?
Yes! This is crazy! But it's kind of cool, too. Ringo is giving you a chance to buy a replica of his hand doing the peace sign with that nice ring on the ring finger.
And the bangles and everything. The thing is, it's $2,000 at the top end. What?
$2,000 for a hand? Give me $2,000 for a hand.
Hey, Ringo, you know it don't come easy. Oh! Love you, man. Peace and love, Ringo.
Seriously, you're awesome, Ringo.
My $2,000's in the mail. You know, Bob Dylan has done all kinds of things, right, wrong, up, down, you name it. He's done it in his many, many decade career now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that he's ever had to apologize for something that he did, but he stepped up in the wake of the philosophy of modern song kerfuffle over the signed copies of his new book.
Mm-hmm.
He finally had to come out and say something because there was so much backlash when it came out that the book copies had been stamped, auto-signed. Here's what he wrote. I've been made aware that there is some controversy about signatures on some of my recent artwork prints and on a limited edition of Philosophy of Modern Song. I've hand-signed each and every print over the years, and there's never been a problem. And this is where we get the explanation, Marcus, which should make everybody who's been on his shit feel like shit. He continued, quote, however, in 2019, I had a bad case of vertigo and it continued into the pandemic years. It takes a crew of 5 working in close quarters with me to enable these signing sessions, and we could not find a safe and workable way to complete what I needed to do while the virus was raging. So during the pandemic, it was impossible to sign anything, and the vertigo didn't help. He went on to mention contractual deadlines arriving and that they had to come up with a way to make it work. I'm working with Simon & Schuster and my gallery partners to do just that. He signed off by saying, with my deepest regrets, Bob Dylan. Sounds sincere to me, bro.
I don't think Bob Dylan would apologize if he didn't mean it, and I think he is being 100% sincere.
Normally, this is where in the Bent News Update we would tell you about people we've lost this week. And by the way, this year we've looked. It's been way too many.
Way too many.
In addition to losing Chris McVie this week, the announcement came from the Wrecking Crew that Gene Cipriano, a prolific musician, reed player, woodwinds, all that kind of stuff. When I looked up the things that Mr. Cipriano, or Sip as they called him, played on, it's amazing, man. He's part of the soundtrack of your life.
He was in some big movie soundtracks like The Day of Wine and Roses, The Hawaiians, Charade.
Theme, all of
yep.
It. And he got to work with that Barbara Joan Streisand.
Oh, lucky man.
Love is reaching
Wrecking Crew member Gene Cipriano, gone at 94. Well, Marcus, I thought maybe we could end on a lighter note this week, and it's a story that came to us from the epicenter of death metal, Denmark. You know, they love their black and death metal over there.
They sure do.
Researchers at the University of Southern Denmark have discovered the similarities in the way that both bats and death metal vocalists use their larynx to make the sound that you get, that it's very similar. They said they did a deep research on it, and it shows that bats use a death metal growl to communicate with each other.
Yeah, studies have shown how the Daubenton's bat uses its larynx in order to make sounds, and in doing so discovered that the animals use the same vocal techniques as the likes of George Corpse Grinder Fisher, frontman of Cannibal Corpse. Awesome.
They've been looking at it, and they finally figured out what the similarities in physical structure and use were. And now we know where it comes from in nature.
Did a death metal band take a walk in nature and then hear the vocal sounds of bats socializing and like,
they're talking to each other?
That's our vocal style. That is our vocal style.
It's not that, you know, I'm making fun because I really can discern the difference between bands and their sound. But that's the source of it all. And it's good to laugh, Marcus, because the source of this week's episode release is sadness. One of the biggest losses of all time in either of our lives. It'll be a repeat of our episode of the podcast, The Night John Lennon Died, our third annual re-release event.
Anybody who was alive on the day that John Lennon was shot remembers what they were doing at that time that they heard.
And you'll get a picture of what we were up to that day on this week's episode. That's going to do it for this bent nose update. You know,
it gets bent, it gets straightened out again, and then it gets bent again, Marcus. It just works that way.
I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
Bending it again when you need to know. Get bent!